Funky beat right there. Hello, everybody. We want to welcome y'all to the Bobtown Riot. This is the first episode of the Bobtown Riot, as it's my first solo episode without either our regular host, Raymtown, or our co-host, Thomas Mayfield. So, excited here to get going. I actually have some special guests with us here today. I've got my dad, Richard Lloyd.
Hey,
he's in the house. And Danny, my little brother, he's here also, so we kind of got a Lloyd takeover.
The little brother.
Going on here at the, what used to be the Raymtown Riot.
Hijacked!
Nah, I'm just kidding, it's, we're still the Raymtown Riot, still be airing episodes every week, Raymtown will be back, but we got a special episode here today. Let's say, what do you guys want to get started about? Anything you, think's cool in the sports world?
Yeah. Has there been any, have you heard of any, rattlesnake roundups or squirrel hunting contests, any of that kind of, stuff that we're actually interested in as opposed to a bunch of, jockey bullshit like you guys normally talk about?
Squirrel hunting contests?
Anything.
Elaborate, yeah. I don't know anything about squirrel hunting or rattlesnake roundups.
Obviously, you haven't done your homework. Big news.
My favorite thing that we saw this last weekend was UFC 202, Conor McGregor, Nate Diaz 2.
It's a bloodbath.
That was awesome. It was awesome. Danny, tell me what you think about Conor McGregor.
Oh, man. Best shit talker ever. It's brilliant, especially in the UFC where you got a bunch of brain damage going on. It's pretty awesome.
Yeah.
Tell me, did that fight remind you of the old Stephen Bonner, Forrest Griffin fights?
Yeah, man. I think everyone's kind of surprised with how much grit Conor McGregor showed, especially after seeing him wolf out at UFC 196. After two rounds, he was exhausted and couldn't go any further. Got tapped out by Diaz. This time, those guys. Everything they had for five rounds, pretty damn incredible. Actually, one of the, I think the second most significant punches in UFC history in a fight. So, pretty interesting. Dad, do you like Conor McGregor?
I love that little leprechaun, that little red-headed Irishman leprechaun. Yeah, man. It's nice to get something besides the normal Diaz idiocy. Shit-talking somebody who can actually talk. If they're going to shit-talk, be nice if they could actually talk. And what about the local boys? What did he fight at? 170, when he normally fights at 155?
He holds the belt at 145.
145.
And then, yeah, and then so when he was scheduled to fight Rafael Dos Anjos back earlier this year, they were scheduled to fight for the 155 belt. Dos Anjos couldn't fight because of an injury, and he agreed to fight Diaz at 170.
Right.
And couldn't even get up to 170. Yeah, man, I think we totally understand that. There's something about it's just fun. I'm glad he won because I feel like Conor McGregor kind of brings his own show. It's like McGregor Mania, and if he would have lost, show would have been over. You know, no one cares what if you can be the best shit talker of all time if you keep losing, but
the king is back.
Yeah.
So what is he gonna what weight is he gonna fight at?
It's expected. Well, he still has the belt at 145, and Jose Aldo won a fight for the won the top contender match, so he's supposed to defend his belt against Jose Aldo in a rematch there. And then he also has a chance to compete for the belt at 155, so it's kind of up to him what he wants to do. Interesting.
What do the local guys like Diego Sanchez, Clay Guida, and Carlos Condit, what do they weigh?
Okay, Condit's at 170, one of the top contenders at 170. Diego's all over the place, I think 155 most of the time.
pretty
Diego.
He's kind of faded into obscurity.
He's taking a lot of hits.
He's just a brawler. He's kind of a gatekeeper fighter. They kind of like bring people that are climbing up the ladder, and they have them fight Diego Sanchez to see if they're legitimate or not. But he's not really a contender anymore.
Did you see the 10-second knockout with Anthony Rumble Johnson and Teixeira? Did you see the tooth fly up?
Did his tooth actually fly up?
See the replay? The tooth flies up, comes back down a couple seconds later. God. And what are they
going to do? Man, that guy is scary. Danny, you're a big John Jones fan.
Yeah.
Do you think John Jones could take Rumble Johnson? Do you think? I think it's a bad fight for him.
He already did take Rumble Johnson.
No, that fight didn't happen, I'm pretty sure. Did Rumble Johnson fight? I think they were scheduled to fight, and then one of these
unforeseen drug use.
Yeah.
They were scheduled to fight when he got arrested, but I thought he came back and fought him.
Let's see,
March?
I might be wrong about that. It looks like they might have fought at 187.
He fought...
I think it was Johnson he fought in March. Yeah.
Did he?
I don't know. I got no history on him fighting. Anyways, they're talking about in the future... It'll either be Rumble Johnson fighting against Daniel Cormier for the 205 belt, or it'll be Rumble Johnson against John Jones to see who gets to fight
Cormier.
Yeah.
And that's the fight I want to see, man. I would love to see John Jones.
We still have to see. I mean, it sounds like he's getting off, but we still have to see if he gets any suspension for.
Dude, John Jones is such a shitty character. Like, so. I see him out around town. I just know a lot of people in the bar community around because of my job as a bartender at Knob Hill Bar and Grill. he's always out drinking all the time, man. And not only that, like doing blow all the time. I just don't see how somebody who's wasting all his potential could match up against Anthony Johnson, who's just like 100% focused on killing all the time.
Maybe this thing you're saying about John Jones is bullshit, though.
I see him consistently.
You see him out, but, you know, he's a young man and he's in the world. What are you going to do? Sit in the, you know, I don't know.
I guess these other young guys in the world are in their church choir? In their gym, like, training on how to choke people out and lift more weights and kill people.
Well, maybe he's developing a conscious about not beating the shit out of people all the time in this fucking dog fight that you guys are calling UFC. Speaking of which, Bob.
Yeah.
What did the UFC sell? Did it get sold?
Yeah, it did get sold.
For how much?
$4 billion.
And have you guys already talked about this on the podcast?
No.
Okay, so $4 billion, big money,
huge.
Yeah, huge money, really. Mm-hmm. Do these guys, these fighters, they don't have people representing them as a union?
No,
they have is agents, right, that are getting a piece of their pie.
I believe
maybe
so,
maybe not
yeah.
even agents.
I think they, a lot of these guys just sign contracts with the... They don't get to negotiate their fights as in, like, boxing style. They just sign contracts. They sign a 6-fight contract where they get paid $40,000 for the first 3 fights and $80,000 for the next 3 fights, regardless of how well they do in those fights and stuff like that. Yeah, and then,
the
UFC management is actively fighting against them forming a union.
Yeah, UFC management, Dana White and the other thugs that were involved in that, the brothers, the stepbrothers. What the hell was those guys' names?
I can't think of their names right now. Those guys cashed out.
You know what, though? They're not going to walk away with all that cash. So when somebody gets killed in that ring, or in 10 years down the road, when you've got a bunch of punch-drunk, dementia fighters with no money, and, you know... if I was, they're going to go after
Dana White, imagine the way Keith Jardine's going to be looking in 10 years.
Diego Sanchez, any of them.
Ooh.
Any of them, and not the way they look. Imagine a plaque on the brain. Imagine, you know, Bob, you know from your schooling how dangerous that shit is. I just wanted to speak to you, and I guess to the audience here, and say that UFC is bullshit. When McCain, who I don't agree with on hardly anything, called it human dogfighting, man, he was right. Let's talk about rattlesnake.
John McCain, is that... Well, if you got something to contribute, but it's hard for me to just say, let's talk about rattlesnake.
Well,
let's
not talk about rattlesnake. This jockey shit. It's, I like McGregor.
I like the UFC, man. I have fun watching these guys.
Or do you have any twinge of guilt when you see these guys beating the shit out of each other? And you're not like a little kid anymore watching, you know, boys fighting behind the high school.
Man, it's gladiators. It's human nature. What am I supposed to say? I don't enjoy that shit.
Do you enjoy it?
I do. Yeah, I enjoy seeing two guys beat the shit out of each other.
Okay. So you're very goddamn uncivilized. I'm surprised a son of mine would be that uncivilized.
Yeah.
And I brought you up on opera and
some kind of wild animal out here. Watching guys beat the shit out of each other.
I get it, man.
I mean, no, you got it. You have a point. Let's look at the opposite side of that coin, right? Is there any more honest form of competition than two guys fighting each other?
No.
Yeah. So on one side of the spectrum, when we were talking about UFC fighting in general, it is. It's barbaric. It's crude. It's animalistic. And watching it kind of... maybe some people would feel guilty about it. On the other side, when you're watching other sports like basketball or swimming or weightlifting or volleyball, whatever it is, it's not if one guy's going to get punched in the face, who really cares who dunks on somebody? You know?
No, I'm missing it. What do you?
It's just not an honest form of it's not an honest form of competition. It doesn't show you who the more elite athlete or
the gladiator. Danny's right, man. It's gladiators, you know.
I just think like there's nothing quite as exciting as fighting. I agree with you that it is crude, and I do feel it's sad to think that these guys will be getting brain damage. I mean, hopefully they're looking into it. The smarter ones, there's education going around. The fighters are looking at forming a union and getting work together. But it's risk that goes into business.
When a fighter, and it's happened, one of McGregor's proteges killed a guy in the ring, right, over in Ireland.
He did, yeah.
Yeah, and it'll happen. It'll happen on a pay-per-view, and when that happens. You're gonna get some serious blowback on that, and
man, I thought Dana White.
What kind of asshole is Dana White?
What's
he trying to? Remember when he was talking shit with Tito Ortiz? I wish Tito Ortiz would have kicked his ass.
Remind me what happened with Tito Ortiz?
Dana White was saying he was gonna fight him. He's training.
Oh, jeez. Yeah, that would have been fun to watch. I wish
Tito would have beat the shit out of him.
Well, I mean, somebody had to talk some sense into Dana White and say...
Yeah, the Furtado brothers or whatever.
Yeah, Furtado, that's right.
No, that's some kind
Furtado.
Of... Furtado.
Furtado. It is Furtado, brothers. Yeah. It is Furtado.
Yeah, bro. Nelly Furtado.
Could you imagine how much the UFC fighters would have relished in Tito Ortiz beating up Dana White?
Here. No, those little bitches, probably Dana White would have said, jump, boys, protect me, boys, and... Chuck Liddell and the other faggots
What if J.J. Watt would get a chance to go at Roger Goodell or something, or Allen Iverson gets to fight David Stern or something like that?
I'd like to see Allen Iverson fight David Stern. Or, what's his name, the new
one?
I'd
like to see crippled
Adam
up
Silver.
Adam Silver.
Crippled up 80-year-old Jewish guy fighting one of the best athletes in the world.
Yeah. Yeah, at a bowling alley. At a bowling alley like that thing in Virginia.
Yeah. Yeah, Dana White's a jerk. I don't know, but
he's an extremely wealthy dickhead.
Really, the UFC has increased in popularity to an extreme sense, and they I think they bought it for a couple million, sold it for billions. So from the Furtado brothers angle, he's done a great job. Bellator is picking off some of their prize fighters in the UFC. One of the top guys at 170, and I think they're about to get Donald Cowboy Cerrone, who's another big time fighter for the UFC.
Really?
Yeah. So right after they sold it, the Bellator fighting is gaining momentum on them. So we'll see how that situation.
Cerrone had a hell of a fight.
Who did he fight
this weekend? I don't know. Some teenage looking. He looked like a little boy, honestly.
That Northcutt guy or
something. Rick Story. Rick Story, yeah.
Yeah, looked like a little boy.
Rick Story is a serious fighter, dude. He beat up some good guys. He's not a little boy. You guys got anything else you want to add on the UFC real fast?
UFC sucks.
I want to talk about Dak Prescott and possibly being the next Tom Brady as soon as Romo goes out.
All right, sweet. Oh, man. We'll be back in a little bit after our first commercial break. Stay tuned. Want to take a second to recognize the number one nightlife spot in Albuquerque, New Mexico, as well as a fine dining and cocktail craft beer establishment, Knob Hill Bar and Grill at 3128 Central Avenue Southeast at the corner of Bryn Mawr and Central. Ton of fun, great atmosphere, a great time. We're just launching a new cocktail menu based on the movie Reservoir Dogs. This Saturday, August 27th, we will be having a filming of the movie Reservoir Dogs with half price on our new specialty cocktails. Encourage you all to come by and check it out. Hopefully see you there.
And his last movie was total shit.
Girl.
What was it?
Crazy Eight.
You'll be a woman soon.
The Kill Bill movie. All right, we're back. Rametown Riot, here we go. Just talking about the best Tarantino movies outside of Reservoir Dogs, or these guys seem to think Pulp Fiction maybe.
Pulp Fiction, number one.
And then what do you got after that?
Reservoir Dogs.
Reservoir Dogs?
I would say.
God, Kill Bill's pretty cool, man. Has
what's
a lot
the name
of different
of,
styles.
What's the name of the actor, Mr. Pink, in Reservoir Dogs?
The Wolf.
The ugly guy.
Harvey Keitel or Michael Madsen?
No.
Buscemi,
Steve Buscemi.
Buscemi. He was in Dusk to Dawn too, wasn't he?
Yeah.
Or Machete.
Wait,
not Machete.
Was he? I'm not sure if Buscemi was. Buscemi tends to die though in a lot of films. All the Coen brothers gets killed.
Hey, what is the latest Coen brothers flick? I heard it sucked. Watermiller was telling me it was terrible.
I don't know.
Hail Caesar?
Yeah.
Have you heard it?
I haven't seen it. It looked just jam-packed with a bunch of stars. Who knows if
it
was good.
Said
it
was real shitty. Real bad movie. But
it's tough to maintain creative genius on the long scale, I believe.
Well, you know what?
Well, it's also tough with a bunch of, you know, bunch of the high-name actors. They all want high-name Hollywood parts. It's kind of...
Seem like the Coen brothers would be able to bully those guys.
Well,
around
I mean, they've
a little
had
bit,
bad but... movies before, like the
yeah,
lady,
they have.
The Lady Killers. That wasn't a good movie.
I can't.
Not,
I've
not
seen
very
all the movies.
Good.
All right,
very good.
All right. Back to the Rametown Riot. Your
okay.
Animals.
All right. So, what about the Lady Killers? Wasn't that good? You're right,
Danny. You left. The people want to hear your thoughts on a very man who's rocking preseason football right now. For the nation's team, tell me what's going on.
And that's the issue, isn't it? That it's preseason football that he's rocking, but he came in three plays in last night, had a hell of a game.
Dude, he looks like a stud. Dak Prescott, he looks awesome.
Yeah.
Dak Shepard.
A lot of Dak people Prescott. Are calling for Romo's head. They're saying Romo can't be the quarterback anymore. We want Prescott.
Who are these people?
I mean, are they actually saying that or?
Are these
conflict now?
These Dallas Cowboy crazy
people.
Fans never could accept them.
They're probably out there.
Yeah. Yeah, you looked good. We'll see, man. He's probably he looks like the kind of quarterback who'll be the starter of the Cowboys in the not super distant future.
Yeah, well,
and I mean, it's a changing of the guard. People are getting old. You got
especially considering you got some
old good quarterbacks out there.
How old's Romo?
Late 30s, I think. I think Romo, 36, 37.
Romo's up there.
Been around a while.
Let's give a look.
You do have some, you know, you have a number of quarterbacks, top flight quarterbacks who are
a lot of the best quarterbacks in the bad, league are in, their, fast, are in the mid 30s.
36. Romo's 36.
You've got Breeze is pushing 40. Brady's probably pushing 40 or 40.
Manning just retired.
That's a perfect example of how fast it can go bad. And Manning was lucky enough to, or good enough, or both, to win the Super Bowl.
We still got Roethlisberger.
How old's Roethlisberger?
Got to be mid-30s also.
Mid-30s at least, huh?
I think Rivers and Manning are getting that. Rivers and Eli Manning.
Yeah.
Getting up there.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we're talking about almost all of the franchise quarterbacks in the league that have been established a lot. How old is Rodgers?
Rodgers is early 30s, not young. So he has a couple more years where he's 32. So, yeah.
So a few more years at the top of his game, possibly, if he doesn't hurt his knee.
Yeah.
And so who are their replacements? Newton, Russell Wilson, who I think is the best young quarterback.
Let's do this with some order, okay? Let's try to say who you guys, in your opinion, the top quarterbacks in the league are. We're going to take a top 10, okay?
The top 10 as of the beginning, as for the this, end of
for
last
this,
year.
For this 2017 season, who do you project to be your top 10 quarterbacks?
Now, what about in regards to Tom Brady? Are we just, we don't care about the 3-game suspension? That doesn't have anything to
care.
Do with his.
Okay, then Brady would be, you know, I can't say there's anybody who's going to be more effective than Brady.
Okay.
Who else?
Pretty agreeable.
Well, I mean, obviously, you got to put Rodgers up there.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You got Brady, Rodgers. I don't think you can ignore Cam Newton anymore. After last season, I wouldn't put him
what?
3, but I put him somewhere in
I wouldn't.
Know,
you wouldn't put him above Russell Wilson, would you?
No.
I wouldn't.
No. Wait, you guys want Russell Wilson above Cam Newton?
I do.
What about, where do
it's
you put?
It's decision
where
making,
do you put,
man. He's really.
Roethlisberger, Big Ben.
Roethlisberger?
Big Ben. Actually, I put him right behind Rodgers.
Right behind Rodgers at number 3?
Yep.
Okay.
I do. What about you, Dano?
I got to think about quarterbacks for a second. Big Ben. I mean, Big Ben's been doing it and doing it consistently for years and years, and that didn't look like he was stopping last year.
They have to be on a team that's capable of winning, because you got guys who get a lot of stats, like Matty Ice, Ryan out of Atlanta, and Stafford, the human, whatever the hell he is. But they're never gonna win.
That's a good
name. Cutler. Never gonna win.
Where do you put Breeze on here? They had a bad season last year, but that was a defensive.
Give
him bad
one
season.
More chance.
Yeah,
man.
Breeze has been traditionally rated right up there with Roethlisberger. Does he still have your guys' the respect of the football fans as
top
tier quarterback?
Top 5.
Yeah.
Top 5.
I mean, it's his production didn't slow last year. He did exactly this. I mean, the defense wasn't good. It was the worst rated defense in the league.
Okay. All right. Another guy that was rated as a top 5 quarterback last year, but has fallen off the radar for a lot of people is Andrew Luck out of Indiana. What do you?
Got to. He's got to make. You know, he's got to do better.
Okay.
Can't be injured in your early years, and you know you could just be another injury prone guy who.
Dude, he was getting beat up
last
year.
That happens. Team Revels
gotta
is
get
taking
rid
hits
of the ball.
Too, though.
Got to get rid of it.
Yeah.
He doesn't mind taking hits, which isn't necessarily
it's
a good thing.
It's a bad idea for a quarterback. Yeah. I don't care if you are 6'4".
Yeah.
He's huge.
Yeah, but the guys coming in are 300.
Okay, what about some mid-tier guys? Where do you rate these guys in relation to Cam Newton and Russell Wilson? What about Phillip Rivers and Tony Romo?
Romo's been hurt too much lately for me to rate him as anything but a you know, possible car wreck. And Rivers, I don't know what to make of Rivers, man. He's another one of those guys that gets a lot of stats, right?
He does sure get a lot of stats, a lot of a lot of efficiency. His quarterback rating is towards the top of the league every year.
But in a tight game,
man, do you want Phil Rivers, you know, 15th, 16th week of the season, and they're fighting to get in? I don't know, man.
And where do you rank people like the ultra-efficient Alex Smith? Are they ahead of the Rivers, or are they behind, you know?
You know what? That's Alex Smith.
And he never puts up unbelievable numbers, but has always been efficient and on winning teams. What do you, where do you put him?
Doesn't he have a reputation as just a game manager, but a guy that, so say your team needs 9 points and you have 4 minutes, the opposite of the guy that you want is Alex Smith, right? Because you can't get a 25-yard play if Alex Smith is your quarterback. So with Kansas City Chiefs, it works out great. They have a great defense, a great running game, and they're able to win a lot of games with short, smart passes. But then you need to take a shot to win it all, and you can't do it because you can't get the ball downfield over the safety's head, right?
That's what they say, and I've never seen him, throw long.
I'm a fan of him, though. I like him. I like him. Do you guys like any of these young quarterbacks? Anybody?
I like Teddy Bridgewater.
Okay.
I loved what's his name from San Francisco.
Kirk Cousins, my friend.
Yeah.
You like that? Yeah, I like that.
You like Kirk Cousins.
How many games did they win last year?
Second half of the season, highest ranked quarterback.
I think he got franchise tag. Dude's gonna make $20 million. One of the top paid quarterbacks in the league this year.
The deal with franchise is it's top five by position, and I imagine quarterback's probably the highest of that.
So definitely.
He's making 25, but I mean, that also means they're not willing to give him long term unless he shows it this year. But I mean, I think he will. I've always liked him. I thought from the first year that
we're getting way off track. We're getting way off track. You got to get back to your top 10 quarterbacks.
All right.
It's too hard to make a list.
Brady.
Yeah.
Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah.
Big Ben Roethlisberger. Drew Brees. Russell Wilson. Cam Newton. Alex. No, too high.
I put Andrew Luck next, regardless of his bad season.
You put Andrew Luck at number 7.
It was an injury-filled season last year.
You putting him at number 7, you're putting him ahead of who else?
Yeah, well, I'm putting him ahead of the consistent Alex Smith type, Eli Manning's, Tony Romo's. I'm putting him ahead of those because his roof is
wide. Okay, Andrew Luck, you got him at 7, so we got 3 more to fill in. Is it Eli Manning? Philip Rivers, Tony Romo, Teddy Bridgewater.
What about the Derek Carr and Blake Bortles?
Derek Carr and Blake Bortles, you're right. These guys are ready to step out.
These guys, I mean, they had Derek huge Carr, seasons man. Last
Derek
year.
Derek Carr's a good quarterback.
Yeah. I honestly might put those,
Put Derek Carr at 8. Teddy Bridgewater 9.
No, I wouldn't put Teddy Bridgewater ahead of Eli. Philip.
Yeah, I don't know if I'd put, did we get Alex Smith in there yet?
No, but I don't think he makes the top 10. I think he's just a great game manager.
Okay. He's a damn good runner.
Yeah.
He's a good quarterback.
Yeah.
I think San Francisco would be very... They'd be very happy if they had Alex Smith and what's-his-name was over at Kansas City.
Yeah.
Kaepernick,
man. What a fade. What a fade. I thought that guy was going to change quarterback.
All right, wait. Let's finish off these last 3, and then we can talk about Kaepernick.
Well, Bob, you got to say something, man.
It seems like you got to throw Romo in there pretty soon.
What do you think?
Off of his capabilities and just intelligence. And
yeah, he had a hell of a season a couple years ago. Yeah, I guess you can put Romo in there. He's good. He just never shown the ability to win the big game.
Hasn't had playoff success. That's right.
Yeah.
Let me think.
So do you put Eli?
There's a
Manning
lot of
there?
Young quarterbacks with a lot to prove. And
Eli Manning, man, 2-time Super Bowl winner.
What about our friend Carson Palmer, who also has?
Oh, Carson Palmer's definitely in there.
Carson Palmer's right there with Romo. Playoff success.
What about our friend Andy Dalton?
No.
What about Tannehill?
No.
Why not Andy Dalton?
Maybe it's
because Eli Manning's still there, and all Eli Manning is the same version of those guys that won two Super Bowls. He gets to be it.
But Andy Dalton is not a guy who throws as many interceptions as touchdowns, and Eli does.
This is actually an interesting thought that I've had about Andy Dalton, the difference between Andy Dalton and Eli Manning specifically.
Okay.
Eli Manning, deep down in his soul, believes he's the best quarterback in the world, regardless of whether or not he is, regardless of anything. So what that belief in himself allows him to do is go out there and make the perfect play under the highest pressure circumstance in the world.
He has something like the highest winning drive.
So lots of times he messes up. Lots of times he throws the ball in the wrong direction, makes a bad pass, makes a bad play, makes a bad read. But then
in clutch
two of the best playoff drives in the world, whereas Andy Dalton... What would be the word? Waffles?
Waffles.
Waffles under the pressure of the playoffs.
Waffles.
Yeah, he folds under the pressure of the playoffs. I think it's gotten in his head to the point where he doesn't have confidence in himself, the confidence that you need to succeed in the playoffs.
Okay, so what do you think? Romo,
never
Manning, and then I'd honestly
Palmer.
You got Romo,
Palmer. You have to put Palmer.
Okay, so that fills him up.
Fills him out.
All right, there it is.
No Stafford, no Matty Ice Ryan, no Tannehill, no Teddy Bridgewater, no Blake Bortles.
Can only be 10 in the top 10.
Okay.
The list is subject to change, but those are the guys that have earned
Was Phil Rivers in there? We didn't put him in there, did we?
No.
No,
no, he didn't make it. He lost out to Manning and Palmer. We got a rule, no cell phones here on the Riot.
All right,
Danny. Another thing going along with fantasy football season is with football season in general is fantasy football. So you got any players that you've been looking at, like guys that you think might be sleepers, late round pickups, advice for people that want to win their fantasy football league?
Oh man. Late round pickups, I think they're always a gamble. So, you got some guys who, you got the rookie out of New Orleans who Breeze loves, and you know.
Was it a rookie wide receiver?
Yeah.
Do you know what his name is?
I think it's Michael Thomas or something like that.
Okay. All right. So a lot of people, Brandon Cooks is expected to be the number one wide receiver there. Is this guy expected to compete with Brandon Cooks for a number one wide receiver option?
Well, kind of. I mean, I think Brandon Cooks has that position pretty locked up. But, I mean, when you're talking about a quarterback like the gunslinger like Breeze, a much more efficient, accurate gunslinger than, who we said earlier, Matthew Stafford, both those guys could have just monster seasons.
Yeah,
I
mean, Breeze
put
up some of the biggest seasons in the history of football before, so.
Yes, he has.
And it's not like those are his only options either.
That's a good pickup, and you see this guy being available late rounds for teams looking for a wide receiver option?
Well, I mean, he'd be available past, I'd imagine you'd be able to get him on your bench unless you're playing in a league with guys who are really want to take a chance on that rookie, but I'd imagine you can get him as a bench player. I mean, I got Stephon Diggs as like my fourth or fifth wide receiver, and he's going to have a monster year.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah, because I mean, he only became relevant second half of the season last year, and he ended up ending with 700 yards. So
Vikings just drafted a wide receiver in the first round, Laquon Treadwell. Lots of people rated him the number one wide receiver coming out of college. So that's interesting. What about any running backs? You like any running back sleepers, Danny? Somebody being undervalued?
Running back sleepers. Ooh. Man, I don't know. I don't know about the running back sleepers. You got the guy out of Seattle who they're raving about, but he's still the backup to Rolls. But I mean, that could change depending on. I mean, it's going to be a committee of running backs to start off with, so I wouldn't take any of the Seattle ones.
What's the deal going on in Green Bay, dude? I seem like Randall Cobb seems like he might be being undervalued. Like, Randall Cobb has consistently put up wide receiver one numbers for the last couple of years, and now they're saying, like, might be worth a wide receiver two.
When it was his chance to step up last year, again, granted he was at a nagging shoulder injury all year, but... Who was
big for them last year? Was it the James Jones or something like that?
Yeah, they had to bring in James Jones to have like any kind of success, which was, I mean, they have a lot of young talent, but it hasn't shown yet. Having said that, the big Jeff Abriadis, I can't pronounce his name, had
a
huge game against the Cardinals in that NFC Championship and or semifinals and
that guy from Taos, Michigan.
Is that where he's from?
Big white guy.
And he's a smaller white guy.
Well, okay. Yeah, he is from he's from Northern Michigan.
What about you, Dad? You got any fantasy football sleepers? Any guys you're high on?
No, I don't give a shit about fantasy football.
You were just telling me about fantasy football a couple weeks ago. You were telling me.
Well, I was telling you to take.
It's Jared Abriadis.
Yes, because where's his hometown? Taos, Michigan.
Okay.
All right, not Taos, New Mexico. T-A-W-A-S, Taos.
I don't know.
The land of the smelt runs.
Maybe Jeff Janis was.
It was Jeff Janis, actually, so I got it all wrong.
Amir Abdullah. That's what you were telling me to take, right?
Amir Abdullah for the running back for the Lions?
Yeah.
Don't take any running back for the Lions.
I wouldn't take him unless he's far late round.
Yeah, I wouldn't take him. I took him last year. I took him when I was in fantasy football, and he didn't do shit.
Abdullah Ablongata.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay.
Take that guy.
That's our NFL talk. We'll be back here in a little bit to cover some college sports talk, maybe some other nonsense, and then our rapid riots. All right, just a second to recognize one of our sponsors, Liberty Gym at 2401 Jefferson Street, Northeast Albuquerque. Phone number 505-884-8012. Liberty is one of the best classic weightlifting gyms in the Albuquerque area. Fair prices, a great community of people that take training seriously and take their health seriously. If you're looking for a new gym in Albuquerque, I definitely recommend checking it out. And we're back at the Rametown Riot, and I just wanted to pick my old man's brain about New Mexico Lobos and his thoughts on Lobo football. Dad, what's your opinion on the current state of the UNM football program?
College football and big time college athletics are a waste of money.
Okay.
You know, coming on this jock show and saying that, I'm sure is not going to be popular with people who want me to say, you know, oh, the Lobos used to be great or some shit. How much does it cost us to pay to have a this big time athletic program at University of New Mexico or any large university? It costs a fortune, man. It doesn't make money. It's not a money maker. That's bullshit.
Yeah.
If they didn't have that goddamn stadium, they didn't have the pit. And really, what does it do?
Yeah, it gives a bunch of dumb
fucking jocks something to talk about.
The students have a place to socialize and...
Oh, yeah, they wouldn't socialize.
They have a way to drink in the stadium parking lot?
Yeah, the students...
That's the most serious
thing. What's it? Tailgating.
Yeah, tailgating.
Yeah, tailgating is
I can't wait. I haven't been to a tailgate in years. You want to go this year? No, don't even go.
Don't
to
do that, man. There's a good reason you haven't gone because it's a
boring. No, because I was always working. I wish I was there.
It's the gayest thing you can do. Hang
I
out
like
in the park.
Walking around
lot,
getting hammered.
Get hammered with a bunch of other losers. Hey, go Lobos! Hey.
Woo!
Woo! Go Blue!
Yeah.
Okay, so you're not high on...
I'm not actually high on sports, college, so I'm a bad guy to have on this thing.
College football in general.
What no, do you think not about, at all. Not at
what
all.
What do you think about should the athletes be paid?
No. Fuck no. They shouldn't okay. be nothing. This oh, should be this on, should man. Be students and the student athletes can go out NCAA, on Johnson Field.
Why does the NCAA get to bank off of their work, huh?
What do you think when you say bank, man? It's National Collegiate Athletic Association. What and is the point of institutes of higher education to have a bunch of semi-pro football teams so the half-literate dimwits who go there can go to tailgating parties? Let's talk about real sports.
All right, man.
Horse racing?
So,
Iditarod, rattlesnake
roundup. Hold on. Anyway, you don't get to just say your opinion and then change the topic. Danny seemed like he wanted to defend the idea that athletes should be paid.
What do you mean? What do I mean by NCAA banking on the student?
Do you think this is a big money maker for anybody except networks?
What do you mean? What do you mean?
Big time college athletics.
Do I think a money maker for anyone? What do you mean? Other than like ESPN and
ESPN, the coaches.
Okay, yeah.
Those upstanding pillars of responsibility, right. Dave Bliss style. The coaches make a bunch. The highest paid employees in almost every state employee is some dumb ass coach, football, basketball, or I think in Maine it's the hockey coach.
So I feel like you're proving my point.
How important are they
here,
to
man.
Society? What's
your point?
Not
important. My point is that you're making money off of although they don't use their name.
Hold on.
Okay,
go on. Off of video games, off of playing it on those networks. You make a lot of money off of these students, whether you use their name or not. You use their likeness, and ESPN, EA Sports, which runs the video games, they make a ton of money off of them. And does any of that hit the pockets of those kids? Well, yeah,
hell
probably
yes,
probably most of them have scholarships.
Hell
but
yes,
that's
it
from
does.
The school who also gets they get television rights, right? They get game time television.
Yeah,
rights.
It goes through the conferences. It goes through the NCAA and through the conferences, and there's sharing plans and all that. Having said all that, what is the product? Is strictly an entertainment product. It's temporal as can be. Nobody knows. You know, it doesn't contribute.
All right. I guess my bigger problem
in a larger
with
sense
so much
to improvement
that,
in society.
My
not
bigger
like
problem
racing.
Is if these students do try to bank off their name, they're in NCAA violation. And I whoa.
Yeah, you can't sign autographs for money. Johnny Manziel got in trouble for signing autographs for money.
Well, that's because you've got this hierarchical authority, the NCAA, which is just a bullshit organization, too.
Yeah.
And in the meantime, we're in a country where, you know, you've got elite athletes that are banking, you know, and their agents and their coaches. But generally, go over to look at the students walking down Central from UNM. They're little pudge butts. They're not in shape at all.
Are you sure you're looking at the students and not the homeless people walking down Central?
I can't tell the difference. Can't tell the difference. It might be the same. It might be the
oh,
same.
Oh, come
people.
On.
But anyways,
I'm going to stick up for the Lobo Nation here. We are not a bunch of little pudge butts.
Yeah.
There are some damn good-looking people that go to UNL.
And you know what?
Yeah, I look at them all the time.
It's college athletics is good for a lot of individuals. But for a lot, it's just nonsense.
You know who came into my bar yesterday?
Raymer.
No.
Who?
Men's basketball head coach Neil.
Neil Senior?
Yeah.
What was he doing, drinking?
Yeah, he had a Pabst.
Pabst Blue Ribbon.
Pabst Blue Ribbon with a lime.
What a sad man. Sad.
Was he by himself?
No, he was with a...
Hooker?
No.
That's what I heard.
Come on. My gosh.
I heard it was a... Escort.
I can't take you guys anywhere.
From the Albuquerque escorts.
No, he was on. He was with a lady there.
A lady of the night.
perhaps his wife, perhaps Mrs. Neal.
Yeah, perhaps. I don't know. Mrs. Neal. I don't
Did
know.
She have a...
He wasn't interested in talking about anything or being recognized. He just kind of had his food and his beer and split.
How'd he tip?
$10.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice. All right. Yeah, can't nice say guy. Anything but nice stuff about a guy who tips 10.
Yep.
On a $20 order.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, that's good.
It was a good experience to have in there. I've had a personal encounter with all three of our last men's head basketball coaches.
Richie McKay.
Richie McKay. Great guy. Can't speak highly enough of him.
Steve Alford.
Steve Alford, a real asshole.
Yep.
Yeah, the worst. And then Neil kind of walking that middle ground of the guy that I feel, meh.
Richie McKay, man. We're going to clean the pit after a game to get money for Tristan's soccer team.
That's right.
He comes up and opens the door. We're banging on the door, and he comes up and opens it himself. Remember that?
Yep.
Good guy. And, really good guy.
Yeah, had some nice words for us, took time to talk to us. He was a nice guy.
A great guy. An exception to the rule.
After a tough loss also. You know, that's one of my big problems with Lobo Sports in general is I feel like we haven't put enough of an emphasis on high character administration throughout the program and building high character programs.
Never.
Yeah.
Show me a college that does. Show me a university that does. They don't. Look at what Indiana University tolerated from that douchebag Bob Knight because he won. Would you tolerate an employee like that throwing a chair? That guy needed to be punched in the head.
Well, the Lobos have been one of the worst.
Dave Bliss.
Dave
Bliss. What Dave Bliss did was ridiculous. You know what? There's all kinds of people going to make excuses for these guys. Oh, you can't understand the pressure. Fuck them. People understand pressure. People Coach that are Loxley. Trying to make a bill. Who?
Coach Loxley.
Coach Mike Loxley. Incompetent.
Yeah, Mike Loxley punched a wide receiver coach in a meeting.
Completely incompetent. Never should have been hired. He's
letting students drive around his car while they've been drinking or something.
I don't remember that. I remember he was just nonsense.
And also just an absolute terrible coach. But besides that, it would just be nice.
What did he get paid? How much did they have to pay that?
Millions. He made millions.
Yeah.
It would be nice if we put an emphasis. Because we're not a top school. You know, we're not Indiana. We're not Michigan. We're not Ohio State. We're not Alabama. We're not one of these schools that's recruiting top-flight blue-chip athletes. It would be nice if we at least had programs that we could just say, we're proud of those guys. They're doing a good job with our college athletes, training good young individuals to be, like, respectable men and leaders in the community.
Nobody gives a shit about that. All they care about.
I do.
Listen to sports talk radio.
So I don't.
All they care about.
We're on sports talk radio right now.
No, broadcast radio.
I'm not the type of person that I'm talking about, Danny. I'm talking about somebody who's got his stuff together, and is a good leader. Not a. If you're looking for a good critiquer, then bring me along. But if you, I'm talking about. Men that know how to lead young boys. That's what I would like. That's
why
what I would
why
like
did
to see.
Richie McKay get fired?
Not enough wins.
He coming off of a season where he was 25-6 or something, and then he had a 50% or sub 50%.
It's a terrible decision.
It was absolutely horrible decision. Who made it?
What's his name? Pribbles. Fire.
Was it an athletic director?
Yeah, the athletic director.
Athletic director should have been.
He should definitely be fired. I've made the case before on this podcast that he should be fired. And no luck so far. We got a hashtag running. Let's
see what this hashtag is. If the dime doesn't drop with you, who does it drop with?
All right, so you were saying you wanted to talk about some other sports. Horse racing, squirrel hunting. What do you got?
Squirrel hunting.
Paul Krebs. That's the guy that needs to be fired. All right. Hashtag fire Paul Krebs. We'll get it started up again on Twitter.
Yeah.
All you followers, share it. Fire Krebs.
Absolutely. Should fire Paul Krebs.
Yeah.
here's the issue I find with talking about horse racing and squirrel hunting is that we know nothing about horse racing or squirrel hunting.
Well,
or
you know,
involved.
We had an opportunity to go on a squirrel hunting adventure this morning, and your squirrel hound didn't react. So what kind of trainer are you? And we do know about horse racing. They're running at the Downs. I think tonight. I think it starts. I think there's a 6 o'clock post time tonight or tomorrow night at the Albuquerque Downs.
I know enough
racing.
To lose my money at that race.
Yeah,
I don't know. Have any idea how to pick winning horses?
No, nobody does.
Okay.
That I know of.
All right.
You know, you get the program.
Uh-huh.
You look at their history. See how they're doing, and they make little comments like they run well in mud or whatever. And then you put up your money. Do you know anybody who wins in sports gambling at all? Or gambling?
I have a friend, Nick, who makes pretty good money. Well, not pretty good money, but I mean, he gets by with poker.
Yeah, it seems
poker.
Like the guys that...
Yeah. Poker's the way
poker,
to go.
I think you could
seems
do
Seems like
it.
The guys that are good at poker kind of take advantage of all the rest of the guys that want to be good at poker.
Yeah, that's the nature of the game, right?
Yeah.
What about blackjack? Does your friend play blackjack?
No, he's a poker. He's a long haul poker.
Blackjack
guy,
is harder because you're
likes
playing
those multiple hour poker
you're,
matches.
You're playing against
at the casinos.
At casinos, at friends, at mostly casinos.
When you play blackjack, you're playing strictly against the house, right?
That's correct.
And mathematically, the house sets up all the games where they win.
Yeah, they have a... The least advantage that they have is in blackjack.
But they still have over 50% advantage.
Everything.
Yeah, everything.
Absolutely. That's how
so,
they know
so with
casinos.
That being the case, I don't think you can really win in the long run.
I don't think you can play either.
But yeah, I don't think you can win.
You remember hearing about the MIT blackjack team, Ben Mizra?
Yeah, I made a movie about him.
They did make a movie about him, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But the book itself was interesting, man. But now, at the end of that book, he had said that he didn't think it could be replicated, that success, because they were had automatic six-deck shuffling machines, and you couldn't keep track of what was played. You know, even having a
photographic memory.
It wasn't a photographic memory. It was a team. They were working together. Do you remember? And when you get an imbalance, when you get an imbalance of tens played, either too many, a real imbalance of a lot played, or a lot not played, then they would give a signal for. The person sitting at the table who is just sitting and playing, they'd give any type of visual signal, scratch their ear, pick their nose, whatever, and then the big player would come in and start betting. And, you know, they wouldn't win every time. But when they switched the odds by doing that, by counting the tens played, then once you switch the odds, then over a period, you know, You can't beat mathematics. Yeah. So, anyways.
So what they were able to do. They had mathematics on their side at that.
Yeah, when they switched it from the odds in favor of the house to in favor of the players, that's when they started winning and they won big. You know, it killed them. It didn't kill them. You know, it stopped them. Greed. Human greed. It's the one that gets us all, probably, huh? All right, so are we done with the podcast, Bob, or are we still got
just
time?
A second. We got our Rametown Riots.
Damn!
All right, so I'm going to be doing my 2-minute rant on the collective bargaining agreement and Roger Goodell and the quickly approaching, I mean, let's say in 5 years, but the quickly approaching... NFL lockout because of how much every punishment that goes down in the NFL has come to extreme litigation, and it doesn't look like either of these sides are gonna be coming to any easy agreements soon. So let's see what do the players have issues with? The players have issue with post-career care. Because, I mean, it's similar to our UFC earlier. These football players are not coming out of the league unscathed. They have serious medical issues, and that's obviously going to be addressed. And we'll see what happens in the coming months. But let's talk about suspension, their drug policies. You got professional sports like the NBA who don't really care entirely too much about making players' names known that are suspended for drug policies and what the issues were. And also, we got the looming possibility of a legalization of marijuana throughout the states in the next 5 years, and how does that affect the NFL's substance ban on it? And that's my 2 cents.
Richard. Okay, Danny, that was very interesting. Now, what I was thinking about was talking about perhaps Ramtown Riot or one of the sponsors sponsoring a cross-country trek like your buddy Brian made along the Continental Divide Trail, which is backpacking a sport? Is an outdoor activity
that
sport?
Is a sport. We might be able to get you in touch with Wilderness Athlete, one of our top sponsors.
That's right. Wilderness Athlete, who we want to underwrite or perhaps support in whatever way they can. Want to get something free from Jesse. And or maybe have Jesse go out and do the trail. Have him carry the packs and have the other weak links following him behind. But anyways, it was interesting what you said about legalization of marijuana in the NFL.
All right, good take, Dad. My Rapid Riot, we're talking about the city of Durant, Oklahoma. The city of Durant, Oklahoma was not actually named after Kevin Durant. It's been around since long before he played for the Thunder in that town. But they have recently put in to the governor, they want to change the name to Westbrook. They want to change it to Westbrook, Oklahoma. The people have their feelings hurt. Their hero, basketball star, lead celebrity in the state, Kevin Durant, was huge for Oklahoma. He was going to have streets named after him and schools named after him and stuff. Now, everyone hates him. Westbrook is the number one star in the state. Everyone loves him. They're changing the name of a city that's been named Durant for nearly 100 years, and they're going to change it to Westbrook, Oklahoma. Kind of interesting.
Kind of crazy. Super they should crazy. Name it to ruined trailer houses. Tornado ruined trailer house, Oklahoma.
That'd be interesting, yeah. So what if tipped over Bud Light can, Oklahoma?
What if Durant goes the LeBron way, wins a couple championships and comes back? Do they hate him again?
Yes.
He's not going back.
Yeah, they're jilted lovers.
All right. It's been a great episode. Thank you guys for coming on. Listeners, thank you for sticking with us on the Ramtown Riot. We got exciting week coming up next week as we'll be doing our fantasy football draft live for you guys to listen to.
Okay.
Should be an exciting episode. Ramtown himself will be back in the house. If there's any Thomas Mayfield fans left, he should be here also participating in the draft. I want to say thanks to everybody for listening. Check in with us next week. Follow us on Twitter.
How long did we talk?
Yeah, an hour.
Oh, you know what?